Exodus chapter 3. As I begin, you would think that this passage deals only with going on mission trips. And it certainly does that. But this passage, this message this morning, that God calls the right person to the right place at the right time, has significance for every man, woman, boy, and girl who is born again in Christ Jesus. Because He saves us for a purpose. He saves us for work to accomplish to His glory. And in that, He has specific timing, specific locations, specific people in which we are to cross paths with to share the good news. Now in Exodus chapter 3, we're going to look at God calling Moses. And we're just going to look at chapter 3 today, and it sounds like a lot of material, but I do believe we can get through it. But we're just going to look at chapter 3 because I want us to see and focus on very specifically how God calls individuals, why He calls individuals, and what He does whenever He does call individuals to specific tasks. Now, maybe on a Sunday night or Wednesday night coming up, we'll look at Exodus chapter 4 and see all the excuses that Moses makes and the reason why he's got the wrong person. God has got the wrong person. Imagine that, telling God he's got it wrong, which is what really Moses did. But today, I want us to look at how God calls people. And today, we're going to see that not only does God call people, but He provides them with three important biblical truths for the reason of fortifying their faith. Now, let's just go ahead and begin. Let's read Exodus chapter 3, and we'll start with verses 1 through 6. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he held his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near. Take your sandals off of your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Let's pray together. And Father, for this passage, we pray that, Father, we learn from the Scripture how and why you call people to serve you. How and why you send people with a message, with a purpose. And that, Father, you expect them to accomplish that, not in of their own power, but in the might and the power of God. So, Father, I pray that every man and woman and boy and girl who are born again in this room, you have a purpose for them. You have a plan for them. You have a responsibility for them to fulfill for your kingdom work. May today, Lord, be their burning bush experience. May today, Father, be the day that they step out in faith and just obediently do what it is you're asking in their life. And may it be a great and glorious day. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as God calls the right person to the right place at the right time, the first thing that we want to look at here in verses 1 through 6 is that God has an encounter with those He calls. That's the first thing we want to look at. God has an encounter with those He calls. Now Moses, you know, God had an encounter with Moses about 40 years prior to this. He was about 40 years old. He had been reared in the house of Pharaoh, and God said to Moses, you're going to set the Israelites, his people, free. And what does Moses do? He kind of takes it in his own power, and he ends up killing an Egyptian soldier and then have to flee out into the wilderness. Here, such a great man of great prestige, of great calling, takes matters in his own hands, in his own times, and ends up a failure, doesn't he? He ends up failing at that task and fleeing for his life out into the wilderness. Now, during that time, God certainly does bless him. He sends him to the right woman, and they have they get married, they have a child, he gets the right father-in-law, Jethro, and Moses takes on the occupation of his in-laws, which is shepherding sheep. Now, it has been argued that the Hebrew text is really rather sarcastic in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. That it could actually be read with the tone, "Now here we find Moses shepherding sheep." Moses is in a very humble state. He is doing a position that is supplying for his needs, his family needs, but Moses is not doing what he was created to do. Moses is not doing what God called him to do. Moses is doing something else. He is shepherding sheep that his father-in-law, Jethro, owns. But at the right time and in the right place, God has an encounter with Moses. And he has an encounter in the hillside on the mountainside of Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. Moses is there doing what Moses is supposed to be doing, shepherding sheep. But God has an encounter with Moses. God has an encounter with Moses through this burning bush. Moses is shepherding sheep and he sees the bush burning. But what is it not doing? It's not burning up. Moses has been in that wilderness and on that mountainside and all over the land for 40 years, and he's never seen anything like that. More than likely, he's seen bushes burn, but they burn up. This one is burning, but not burning up. So Moses goes towards the direction of that bush. But as he approaches, God calls out. And God tells Moses who he is and what's going on. Remember what he says. He says, God called to him, "Moses, Moses." Moses responds, "Yes, here I am." And he identifies himself as being the God of the covenant God, of the Israelites, of his father, Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob. And Moses, what happens? God tells Moses, "Don't come any nearer because the place in which you are standing is holy ground." It's interesting, isn't it? God has this encounter with Moses, whom he's calling to go back to Egypt and deliver the Israelites. But yet God sets a boundary. God wants Moses. He wants to have an encounter with Moses. But in this text, God has to set a boundary. Why? It's because of who God is. God is not some ordinary God. He is not some ordinary being. God is not some bland deity. He is the sovereign, providential, holy God of the universe. And he sets a boundary with Moses because God needs to set himself as a distinct, unique being from humanity. Moses, do not come any further. Moses got close, didn't he? But don't come any further. In fact, take off your sandals, for where you are standing is holy ground. And that's just the reality of the text. Now, as I was reading this text this morning in my office, I immediately thought about the passage in 1 John. Because in the passage of 1 John, John the Apostle writes about Jesus, the God who became flesh and dwelt among us and revealed the glory of God. John says what? "These things that we have witnessed concerning Christ, we have touched Him, handled Him, heard Him speak, lived with Him, traveled with Him for three and a half years. You see, the God of the Old Testament, Father God, had to set a boundary by which Moses could not approach. But when God incarnate came to earth through the Son, Jesus Christ, people handled Him, touched Him, laughed with Him, cried with Him, walked with Him. Jesus is the way in which what? Sinful humanity no longer has to have a boundary with God. But we have access to God through the Son, Jesus Christ, when we believe on Him as Lord and as Savior. But here, Moses, he has a boundary. And he cannot approach any further to this burning bush. But God has an encounter with Moses, doing the most mundane thing. Now for me, I can only remember whenever God called me to gospel ministry. He called me, son of a hog farmer, working at a sale barn, doing electrical work, you know, just doing stuff. And God called me, and I went forward in church, and my pastor told me to fight it for a year. Well, I remember I fought it for 11 months. And my, I don't want to say burning bush moment, but the moment of ultimate surrender to the gospel ministry. You know where that happened? It didn't happen at church. It didn't happen at a Bible conference. It didn't happen in my home. It happened on a work day morning. I got into my electrical van. I was going to a house to rough it in, and I put the van in reverse, and I had to back up fast because the gravel was so loose. And as soon as I got to the garage of the house and I hit park, boom, there it was. I could no longer resist the calling of God on my life. What was I doing? I was in shorts, a t-shirt, tennis shoes, getting ready to put a tool belt on to go in and wire a house. This is, in essence, how God is calling Moses. Moses is doing what he's doing for 40 years, shepherding sheep. He's not in worship. He's not at a tabernacle. He's not anywhere near the Ark of the Covenant. He is shepherding sheep, and God meets him where he is at and has an encounter with Moses. Well, let's continue on here. Not only does God have an encounter with those He calls, secondly, God will be present with those He calls. Let's continue on and read verses 7 and following. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings. And I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of the land, to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Egypt of Israel out of Egypt? He said, I will be with you, and this will be a sign for you that I have sent you, and you have brought the people out of Egypt. You shall serve God on this mountain. The greatest hope and the greatest confidence and the greatest strength that God gives Moses in this encounter to call him to go back to Egypt is one thing. God promises His presence with Moses. Let's be real here. This is an issue with Moses. He is a wanted man. He has been humiliated 40 years earlier when he thought he was going to deliver the Israelites from the Egyptians by what he did to the soldiers. Now he is returning again there to lead out the Israelites from Egypt. This is all pretty tough decision-making going on. But God says to Moses, the greatest help. Yes, God says, I have seen the affliction that the Israelites have had upon them by the Egyptians. I have seen their suffering. I am completely aware of what's going on. I am ready to send them to a land that is good, that is broad, that is occupied by other people. But I am ready to send them to this land. And Moses, I want you to know, I will be with you. Now today, if you are having a burning bush moment, you need to know that, yes, God was with Moses and his promises there, but God is also with us today. Jesus says, "Lo, I will be with you until the end of the age." Yeah, it's scary to be sent out, whether it be to a short-term mission trip, to a vocational career in ministry, or to a neighbor, or to a ministry of the church that you feel ill prepared. But yet you need to know that in that calling and in the fruition of that calling, God is with you. Christ is with you. Now here, the promise for the Israelites is what? Land, land, land. It's mentioned three times. Because this was God's covenantal promise that He made with Abraham. That you, your descendants in 400 years will occupy the land of the Canaanites. That this land is good, flows with milk and honey. Now, as we go out on missionary endeavors, as we go out with outreach, as we share the testimony of the gospel and how Christ saved us, are we offering land? No. We are offering a relationship. It's what the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 13, I believe it's verse 14. We do not have a hope in a city that no longer exists, a land that can fall away. But our hope is in a city of which to comes, which is to come, a new Jerusalem, a place that cannot be defiled, a place that will not waste away. Our hope is in the presence with God. Our hope is in the return of Christ. Our hope is everlasting. And as we are called by God to send that message out locally, globally, or whatever, we have the promise that God will be with us. Well, we see God has an encounter with those He calls. Number two, God will be present with those He calls. Number three, we want to know that God sends good news with those He calls. And let's begin reading at verse 13. Then Moses said to God, "Well, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is His name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And He said, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say to this people of Israel, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you, and this is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all the generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared to me, saying, I have observed you and what has been done to you in Egypt. And I promise that I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, the Jebusites, and the land flowing with all milk and honey. And they will listen to your voice. And you and the elders of Israel shall go to the king of Egypt and say to him, The Lord, the God of Hebrews, has met with us. And now, please let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God.'" Verse 19. "But I know," this is God saying, "I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless compelled by my mighty hand. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all the wonders that I will do to it and in it. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And when you go, you shall not go empty,
But each woman shall ask of her neighbor, and any woman who lives in her house, for silver and gold, jewelry, and for clothing, and you shall put them on your sons and on your daughters, so you shall plunder the Egyptians." God sends Moses with good news. Now, it's not necessarily good news for the Egyptians, isn't it? They're going to experience the wrath and the judgment of God. But God sends Moses with good news to the Israelites. The Israelites that have been in affliction for over 400 years. The Israelites who have been under slave labor under the Egyptians for 400 years. The good news is what? They are going to be delivered. Now, here, God's good news is encompassed in three different ways. First, God wants Moses to know in verse 14 that whenever he goes with the name of God. Moses is given God's name. I am who I am. Tell them I am sent me to you. Moses is not going back to Egypt in his own, under his own authority. He's going under the authority of God. Whenever we embark on missionary endeavors, whether it be through the FMC, through serving locally, through sending people across the globe, we are serving and we are sending not in the name of First Baptist Church of Deloge, not in your own personal name, but we are under the authority of a powerful name, Jesus Christ our Lord. And that is who we are sent by. And that is the name that we take with us. Moses was going back to Egypt with the name of God. We are sent out under the banner and under the name of Christ Jesus. Number two, we go with God's promises. God told Moses what was going to happen, the fruit of what was going to happen, that the Israelites will listen to you. God was going to have the Israelites listen to Moses, but the Egyptians, they're not going to listen to Moses. They're going to respond by the mighty hand of God. And this is a promise that Moses is sent out with. We too have a promise. Whenever we go, God's word shall not return void. That whenever we go, we share the gospel, we do what we're supposed to do, and we allow the Holy Spirit to work in and through our endeavors. The promise is that we are to be obedient in what God calls us to do, and then we pray that God will work through us and see men and women and boys and girls, families changed for the glory of God. Also, whenever we go, and whenever God sends Moses, he is sent by the mighty hand of God. We go out, we feel feeble. We feel humble. We feel fearful. We feel inadequate. We feel weak. Perfect. Because then we rely not in of ourselves, not in of our wisdom, not in of our knowledge, not in of our strength, but we rely upon the mighty hand of God. And there's no better thing to rely on than the mighty hand of God. What's going on in your life today? What's tugging at your heart? What's pounding in your mind? What's going on in the pit of your stomach? Rely on the mighty hand of God. What makes you fearful? What makes you scared? Rely on the mighty hand of God. Because God has a purpose for you. Grandparents, God has a purpose for your kids and for your grandkids. Parents, God has a purpose for your kids. Kids, God has a purpose for you.
Let God have an encounter with you. Understand God will be present in what He's calling you to do. And understand that whenever you get sent out with the best news ever. God saves sinners by faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe today you're here and you've heard the gospel perhaps for the first time and you want to respond to the gospel. Then you can do that by believing that Jesus is God, God's Son, sent to the earth through the virgin womb of Mary, who lived a sinless life, so that when Jesus would go to the cross, He would take your punishment and my punishment for sin. That would kill Him, but He would not remain dead. 3 days later, He would rise, showing that He had victory not over sin, but also death, so that those who repent of their sin and believe Jesus Christ in their heart that He is Savior, confess with His mouth, their mouth that He is Lord, you shall be saved. We're going to have a time of invitation. Let's stand, and I'm going to trust you to respond yes to the Lord. Father, I thank You for every soul that is represented in this room this morning. Because, Father, they're here for a reason. They're here for a purpose. And, Father, may today be the burning bush experience for them. Now, God, as I come before You, I thank You. I thank You for the promises that You give us. I thank You for encountering us and empowering us to do Your work. And Father, I thank You for Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will both work and will in and through us so that, Father, we can be compliant to You, but that we can be a part of the Great Commission. Thank You, Father. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.